4 years ago, Susan Vogt decided to give away at least one thing she owned each day for the 40 days of Lent. And then she continued the practice for a year. She found it spiritually rewarding and discovered some major practical and social benefits as well. In this hour of midday, Susan Vogt shares her ideas about clearing clutter and living lightly with Mary Kay Claudius, owner of Charm City Organizers, and Kathy Treeseis, owner of Absolutely Organized. Both those women help people live simpler, cleaner, and more efficiently in their homes, their home offices, and in their businesses. Living lightly and what that can do for your home, your head, and your heart on midday after the news. Welcome back to Midday, everyone. Dan Rodrigues here. Thanks for sticking around for our second hour today. Today is Ash Wednesday. It marks the first day of the penitential season of Lent on the Christian calendar. During Lent, many people of the Christian faith fast or sacrifice in some way. 4 years ago, Susan Vogt decided to give away at least one thing she owned each day for the 40 days of Lent. She then continued the practice for a year. Susan Vogt found it spiritually rewarding, and she discovered some major practical and social benefits to it as well. In fact, she found that getting the clutter out of her life actually changed her life. She writes about this, her whole experience with this, in a book called Blessed by Less, Clearing Your Life of Clutter by Living Lightly. It's published by Loyola Press. Susan Vogt is a speaker and an author of 5 books and former editor of the Journal of the National Association of Catholic Family Ministers. And we invited her on the show today to talk about her experiment in living with less, living lightly. And in the show today, we'll be talking about that with a couple of other guests, too. But I wanted to start here with Susan and welcome her to Midday on WYPR. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Dan. I'm glad to be with you.
What made you decide to go about Lent this way? You know, Lent comes and some people observe, some people don't. Some people fast, some people go on diets, some people give up alcohol for 40 days. Or what made you decide I'm going to start decluttering my life? How did you come to this?
Yes, well, it was about 4 years ago, as you say, and I was looking for something, some way to make this Lent more meaningful, more substantial. And because I had done the normal things that many people do, I usually give up desserts and I try to be more attentive to prayer. And these are all good things, but I was looking for a way to deepen it and make it more meaningful to my life. And I looked around my home and I saw that it was pleasant, but I had many more things than I really needed. And the idea occurred to me to give away one thing a day. And as it turned out, even now, 4 years later, I continue to see things that I don't need anymore, or someone else needs more than I do. So it's been a continuing process, even though I don't do it as religiously as one thing a day anymore.
Well, tell us how you went about it, Susan. Like, do you remember the first item you decided to give away and to whom you gave it?
Yes. I was standing in my bedroom. That seemed like a logical place to start because clothes closets are there. And I had just read an article on the website Souls for Souls that said that the average North American has, I think it was, 13 pairs of shoes. And I thought to myself, hey, I'm not that attached to shoes and I don't buy a lot of them. I bet I easily can have less than 13 pairs of shoes. So I started to count. And I was horrified to find that I had at least 20 pairs. As I counted, I included perhaps more than what the research did. I was including bedroom slippers and boots and probably even my ice skates. but I decided I needed to get down to at least 13 so that I could be average, even though I don't like being average. And so I started with the shoes. And then I turned to my clothes closet, and I found, shirts and sweaters and skirts and suits and slacks. And in hindsight, I realized that, hey, most of these things start with S, or at least I can contort them to starting with S. So I started going through the clothes and would prune things that I hadn't worn in a while. Since I work out of my home now, I don't need as much professional wear as I once did, and that made it pretty easy to let go of things. And I also found that some things that I was saving, because I am a careful saver, were no longer in style. In fact, I found several pairs of bell bottoms that.
Oh my goodness!
That I thought
you probably had those
certainly.
For 20 or 30 years.
Yes,
it's possible.
And
yeah,
we're giving away how old I am probably now, but I thought, oh well, certainly I can let go of those bell bottoms, and they will probably come back in style as soon as I give them away. But that's okay. So. Then I went on to other things in the bedroom and things that did not start with S, and just moved through the bathroom, the other bedrooms in our house, the living room, the kitchen, and eventually ended in the garage.
And Susan, you did this day by day all through Lent and selected at least one item each day. And when I asked who did you give your first item to, do you recall who you gave it to?
No, I don't, because what I would do is usually collect at least a week's worth of items and put them in a corner of the house, because I also wanted to save time and not be running to the store or to Goodwill or St. Vincent de Paul or a thrift store every day, because that wouldn't be a good use of my time, I figured. So I would collect them in a corner. And then I would take some of them to the usual places, like Goodwill. Our parish had a thrift store in their basement, so sometimes I would take things there. But I ended up with a whole lot more things, and I didn't have always the perfect person to give it to, someone that I knew really needed it. So I had what I called a free yard sale. I just put everything out in our front yard, sent out an email to our neighbors and to people on FreeCycle. I don't know if folks know about FreeCycle, but it's like Craigslist, except it's all free. And I just announced that this particular weekend, people could come by and take anything they wanted. And it was relatively simple because I didn't have to be home even. I just said, please don't take the porch swing or the furniture on the porch, but anything else you can take.
All right. I want to ask you a couple of questions about the question really is how you felt about doing this as you went about it. But under that question is another question, and that is what did you find to be the spiritual basis for this? Because I think instinctually, most people would say, yeah, living more modestly sounds like the way to go. It sounds it's almost like a spiritual principle of some kind that it might find in many religions, many theologies. Living modestly, living with less, the idea of giving away, being generous to others, purging yourself is another thing, purging things that you do not need, material things you do not need anymore, finding value in things that are not material and not materialistic. What was it? Could you explain all that for us? And it gets back to that question. How did you feel as you went about this during Lent?
Yes. Well, I felt somewhat virtuous, I suppose, and I can get back to that later, because the spirituality part was letting go of feeling self-righteous. But certainly for Christians, the idea of Lent is that it's a journey with Jesus into his remembering his passion and how he fasted in preparation for his ministry. But it's more universal than just Christianity, of course. There's the Jewish faith as Yom Kippur, and Muslims have Ramadan. And these are, I think, universal spiritual instincts to live more simply. But even if a person is not ostensibly or directly religious, I think there's a human pull or instinct to try to be a good person, and that when you see that others are in need, it doesn't feel comfortable for me to hold on to things that I don't need and they might. So for me, it was a letting go of things that I owned, and that reminded me that God's love for me is unconditional. It's not dependent on what I own, how much stuff I have. It's not dependent on how I look, even though I'm still looking for the ideal haircut. And it's not even dependent on how much I know or how much I can accomplish. And this latter category, how much I can accomplish, this has been a real stripping away for me, because I'm basically a type A personality who likes to do a lot of stuff and likes to accomplish a lot. And I had to let go and become more humble, and even let go of this idea of, oh, look at Susan. She's giving away all these things. Isn't she a wonderful person? Because that started to seep in a little bit. And I, in prayer, came to realize that that was also counter to the spirit of letting go. I had to,
being self-righteous.
Oh, right. Yeah. I had to let go of being self-righteous. And that's hard. And that's one of the intangible things I learned, is that letting go of being right, or my opinion, or thinking that my way is the right way and the best way. These are deeper spiritual values, I think, that are more challenging to let go of. So it's, the stuff is a start. But once I started letting go of more of my material things, and I don't think I started out as a conspicuous consumer. I think I had been moving in the direction of simple lifestyle for a number of years. But still, I had things that I had collected, because I'm a pretty good organizer. And I know we are going to have some organizers with us later in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all very well and good. I stored and sorted and organized a lot of my stuff, so that my house did not look very cluttered. But when I started inspecting and evaluating the things I had in boxes and in corners and hidden, I realized there's a lot of stuff that I no longer needed that other people probably did. And some of the stuff was just junk, so I just threw it out.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a spiritual deepening for me, of becoming more humble, trying to become less self-righteous.
And Susan, you sound like you were an organized person anyway. Other people need a lot more help with this. But I wanted to ask you this before we go to our break. When all was said and done, and you had given away so many things throughout the course of that first year in this, did you feel like your life was cleaner, leaner, that you were living more efficiently? Were there practical benefits?
Yes, I think there was. I could find some things more easily.
You could find it.
And I also knew where I had hidden things that I had forgotten about.
Right.
So it was a satisfying feeling on one hand. But on the other hand, the experience of after 1 year, looking around my house and seeing, hey, I've given away, it was probably 1,200 things or so. Who's counting, right? Mm-hmm. But there was still plenty, more than I needed. And so in that sense, it was a little embarrassing that I could give away that much and still have more than I needed.
Right, right. Susan, we're going to take our break here. Susan Vogt will stay with us for the hour as we continue to talk about clearing your life of clutter, living more lightly, living lightly. Susan Vogt's book is Blessed by Less. We'll be joined after this short break by Mary Kay Claudius, owner of Charm City Organizers, and Kathy Treesice. Treesice, it's T-R-E-Z-I-S-E, Treesice, Kathy Treesice, who's owner of Absolutely Organized. So these are a couple of pros coming in to help us with this. And as we continue to talk about this whole idea of removing clutter, doing away with things you don't need, giving it away, living more lightly, and what that gets you, what that does for your head, your heart, and your home. And you can join us in this conversation, 410-662-8780. And our email address, midday@wypr.org. Welcome back to Midday. Dan Rodericks here. Susan Vogt joining us in this hour. Her last name, V-O-G-T, pronounced Vogt. Susan's book is Blessed by Less, Clearing Your Life of Clutter by Living Lightly. This book came out of Susan's experiment in Lent 4 years ago. During the 40 days of Lent, she decided to give one thing away, at least one thing that she owned away each day, and then it went on for a year, and she writes about it in her book, Blessed by Less, and we'll hear more from Susan in this hour of Midday. We're joined now by Kathy Treesice, who is I'm sorry with your name. Say your name for me, Kathy.
Treesice.
That's easy. Treesice.
Yes.
Nice to have you here, Kathy.
Thank you.
Kathy, for 15 years, has this company called Absolutely Organized, which has offices in both Maryland and New Jersey. And Mary Kay Claudius is with us. She is founder and CEO of Charm City Organizers. She's had that company going on 5 years. Mary Kay, nice to have you with us, too.
Thank you.
And before we get into, sort of the business of helping people get better organized, remove clutter, live lightly, live more efficiently, what did you think about what Susan had to say about this sort of spiritual journey that she went on in removing clutter? I wonder if you've had clients over the years who say to you, you helped me. My business is running leaner and cleaner. My office looks better. I know where things are now, but I actually feel better psychologically. I actually feel better. I don't know if you want to go to a spiritual sense, but just feel generally better that they were able to, you know, remove a lot of needless things in their home or in their office. Start with you, Kathy.
Definitely, Dan. People tell me that they feel, then they use the word lighter. I think that was very interesting that Susan used that word in her book.
Living lightly.
Living lightly, yes, exactly. But organizing, for organizing's sake, you know, putting things in pretty containers and neatening things up, I mean, that really is a very small part of what we do. The real benefit of organizing is for what it can do for the person. It's what they are able to do and how they're going to feel about themselves once they get their life in order.
Mm-hmm. So the people you talk to, maybe they're running a business, or maybe they've got a home office, something like that, or maybe they just feel sort of sloppy, generally sloppy. They're forgetful. Why do they call you?
Well, most of our clients are what we call chronically disorganized, which just means that they have been disorganized for a long time and that they have not been able to get themselves organized on their own. They might have as many organizing books in their houses that I have in my library.
Oh, you mean they've been reading about how to get better organized?
Yes, they cut out articles and they read about it and they try it on their own and they just haven't been able to do it. But their disorganization affects them negatively on a daily basis. So it affects relationships with their spouses. I've had occasions where there has been major marital friction between people. I've worked with clients who have been told by their employers that they're going to lose their jobs if they don't get organized. So it can have some major effects.
Mary Kay, let me ask you, Mary Kay Claudius from Charm City Organized, the same question about some of your more successful clients talking about how they feel after that process.
So we work with businesses and homeowners, and typically they'll call us because they're feeling incredibly overwhelmed. That's the first word we get. I'm overwhelmed. I'm not sure where to begin. There are paper piles everywhere. I can't find something. My husband and I are yelling at each other because the kids are missing activities or we're late all the time. So those are the things that we hear over and over again. And I think Kathy hit the nail on the head. We are there as a coach, a counselor, a supporter, the accountability factor. There are a lot of people that can get rid of things, and then there are a lot of people that can't. And it's the normal Joes I'm talking about. I mean, we work with a few chronically disorganized, but it's the normal person out there that needs help doing this.
All right. Chronically disorganized, does that go hand in hand with clutter?
Yes.
Most of the people you've had as clients, they've got a lot of clutter in their lives. Does it go hand in hand with being disorganized?
Yes, and I think it's different for home and business. But on the business end, it's typical to be surrounded by paper piles or digital clutter, which is a huge and growing factor, whether it's social media, email, all of the various apps that promise you great productivity, but if you're not using them correctly, then you're wasting a fair amount of time and digital space. So all these things with time and task management really lead to the overwhelming factor.
That's Mary Kate Claudius from Charm City Organizers. Back to Kathy Treeseis from Absolutely Organized. So have anybody said to you during the process of getting better organized and maybe removing clutter, that they express some guilt, that they actually, their eyes are open to what they've accumulated, how much stuff they actually have? You know, you heard Susan say that after purging so much, she still had all this more than she needed, right? You've heard
that.
People say that?
Yeah. Yes, I definitely have heard people say that. They feel guilty about the quantity of things that they have.
How did it happen? What's at the basis of that? Is it insecurity? People worry that they might not know where their next meal is going to come from, so they stockpile lots of stuff, or they're just worried about the end of the world? What happens with people who get so, you know, where it just piles up like that?
Fear is a big part of that, being afraid that as soon as they let something go, they're going to find a use for it tomorrow. If they let something go today, they're surely going to find a use for it. Mm-hmm. Fear of making the wrong decision also. There's a huge, moral or ethical component to things, too. There's also fear of potential legal or IRS consequences.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes.
So I better hang on to this box of receipts from 1997.
Yes, your grocery store receipts.
Mary Kay, how about you, your perspective on that?
Life transitions typically lead into chronically disorganized or just major clutter. I mean,
like having kids?
Well, sure. That's a big life transition, actually.
Yeah.
and brings in a lot of clutter, I can tell you right now my situation at 8 months pregnant. But, death, divorce, job loss, these things can all lead to some massive mental, I guess the word is disorder.
Right.
Where you lean towards saving and holding.
I want to hear more about your businesses during this hour of the show. I want to go back to Susan Vogt here just for a moment. And Susan, since you started doing this 4 years ago, I'm just curious about what the kind of reaction you've received from people who've heard about what you did. Because we tweeted out and Facebooked you today. What you're about, and people seem excited by that idea, and I just wonder what kind of a reaction you've had to it.
Well, most people are intrigued and ask me questions like, what was the hardest thing that you had to give away, or do you have any regrets about things you gave away? And as I've thought about regrets just the last few days, and I realized that no, I don't think I have any regrets yet. And it might be because of two things. Is one, that I did my giving away in a slow and steady way. I made the first pass through the house, and I caught the things that were easy to give away, the duplicates, the extras. And so then I made, more recently, a second pass through, and this was a little harder, but I was surprised that there were things in my closet, for example, that I amazed myself. I said, why in the world did I hang on to this for another year? I could have given that away in the first year. But I think I needed time, and I needed to respect my emotional time that I needed to get ready to give it away. So that was, I don't know if it was grace that helped me along in that, or if it was just a growing awareness that worked on me over time that helped me realize, hey, I don't really need these things anymore. And things that I thought I would keep just in case, because I was a big just-in-case person, just in case when the grandchildren are eventually born and will come to visit, we will need a baby crib for them.
Right.
And I will be able to pass on these very cute little Polly Flinder dresses that I had been saving since my own daughter was an infant. And I discovered that the grandchildren, or I should say my son and daughter-in-law, said, you know, they don't allow you to buy drop-side cribs anymore, and they've been recalled. And, you know, those dresses you have are very cute, but the spit up on them hasn't faded with time.
This is good.
And so right. I realized that a lot of the things I was saving just in case could better be used by someone else now. Now, that wasn't the case with the baby crib, because right. I thought about giving it to a maternity center or using it in some other useful way for people who needed a crib. But then I searched my conscience and realized, hey, if I'm not going to let my own precious grandchildren sleep in this, that it's really not right to, even if I think it's very, it will not be dangerous, that it's not fair for me to risk anybody else's life.
To pass it along, right. Let me ask Kathy this question, because you've been at this for 15 years.
Yes.
Clients, Susan was just speaking of, letting go or not being ready to let go. I just wonder what some of those conversations have been like over the years with people. You come into their house or their office. Let's talk about the home.
Okay.
This is somebody who wants some help. That's why they've hired you. And you have to have these conversations about this item and that item, and you're questioning why they have two of this and two of that. How do those conversations go? That must be very challenging.
Well, yes, it can be challenging, and I don't ask that question anymore. Why do you have two of these things?
Well, so how do you go about it, Kathy?
Well, I start by finding out what the client's goals are. You know, if they say that they want to be able to fit all of their clothes in their bedroom closet, for example, there's only a finite amount of space. I try to find out what they are. And then when they're trying to make decisions about things, I always bring them back to that goal and say, does having this suit with the shoulder pads that you wore
in 1988.
Yes, exactly. right. Is that going to help you achieve your goal now of being able to fit your current clothes into your closet, things that you actually wear?
Mm-hmm. And what if they say yes?
Well, if they say yes, I mean, I think we have to respect.
Well, yeah, I understand. But you also need mm-hmm. to make your point, right? You're there for a reason. This person's called you for some help.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But there is a readiness for change aspect. And sometimes people are just they might think that they're ready, but perhaps they're not ready.
You would assume, Mary Kate, you might want to come into this. You would assume that someone's ready for change because they've made the phone call to your company, either in Kathy's case, Absolutely Organized, or Charm City Organizers. So what have the conversations been like for you?
You would assume that when people call, just like, you know, you need to go to the dentist, you've got a toothache. Well, it's a little different in our process. You're dealing with a lot of judgment. They've probably been judged quite a bit in their life, either by people that are very close to them, or maybe their parents or friends or people at work. So you're dealing with somebody who is reaching out and asking for help. But as she said, the readiness factor is really quite important. They think they're ready, but when push comes to shove and you offer your advice or a solution to the whatever you're talking about, the item, the schedule, whatever, it's very interesting how much pushback we can get.
So you actually make suggestions. Say, I want to have a cleaner, more efficient home office. A lot of people work at home now, right? Or at least part of the time at home. They want to fully separate themselves from their kids in the house or even their spouse and have a clean, efficient office that they can count on and where they can find things, right?
I think that's the most important thing that we do. After assessing and asking the goals and expectations of the client, we're able to offer, that's our job, is to know the market, to know the products, to know the systems, so that we can best match it to their personality, their lifestyle, their learning habits. And once we can match the right system, they should be able to maintain on their own without us. I mean, I think the greatest gift is to say, for a client to say to you, you know what, I don't think I need you anymore. Beautiful. Great.
Job is done.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished. At 410-662-8780 is our phone number here from Midday. If you'd like to join our conversation, that was Mary Kay Claudius, owner of Charm City Organizers. Kathy Treeseis is with us, owner of Absolutely Organized. And Susan Vogt has been joining us to talk about her experiment with Living Lightly, Clearing Your Life of Clutter. Her book is Blessed by Less. It's published by Loyola Press. An email from Courtney, writing to us from Mogginsville, Maryland. That's a new one for me. Courtney, I'm glad you're listening. She's out in area code 301, Mogginsville, Mauganssville. I never heard of this one. She says, after taking a two-week camping trip to Alaska when I was 45 years old, I came back to my modest home and said to myself, what is all this stuff? Since I had probably lived half my life, I vowed then to start giving things away so that I would die owning nothing. After going to Alaska. Thank you very much for that, Courtney, from Mogginsville, Maryland. Let's take a phone call. This one from Locust Point. Rebecca giving us a ring. Welcome to Midday, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling
good. Love your show.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Well, you had a question for our guests?
Yeah, I wanted to know, the two ladies who do organizing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it up. I want to say the woman who wrote that book and is a spiritual person, I totally admire you. I think making a phone call to the Salvation Army, making an appointment, having them come out, take your things is incredible. The other thing I do is if I go to a third world country where people are very, very poor, I take everything with me that I'm wearing and I leave it there. Everything, my shoes, everything. And the two ladies.
So wait a minute, Rebecca. Before you come back, you buy some clothes. You buy some clothes to wear back, right? Obviously.
Well, I wear you know, like my winter coat, you know, my jeans or whatever. But I take everything I pack. I have a lot of friends. This is seems like everybody's doing this. If you go to a place that's very poor, you take your stuff there and leave it.
Okay. Did you have a question for Mary Kate and Kathy?
Yes, I did. I have a question for the organizing ladies. Can you talk about where you go to, like, do you, if you have clients that can afford an organizer, some clients have, you know, antiques, and I know that can be a problem trying to give those things up. Can you talk about estate sales and auctions? And I'll take my.
All right, Rebecca, estate sales and auctions. So you've been through some of those, have you, or some of
yes.
your clients have?
Yes, we have. I think that having an estate sale or an auction is a wonderful way to part with things that are no longer relevant in a person's life or to the family. Sometimes we have very good stuff. You're not going to make anything from it at a yard sale. Maybe you don't want to put it on Craigslist and have strangers coming to your house. I think it's a wonderful way to do that.
In that situation, that your client would be someone who has inherited a lot of items and doesn't know what to do with them.
I see that a lot.
Okay.
Yes. So when my mother passed away, I inherited her china, and I already had a set of china. I didn't need another set that didn't match what I had.
What did you decide to do about
that? I took it to an auction house. And the nice thing about auction houses is everything always sells. It might not sell for what you think it was worth or what your deceased relatives paid for it at the time, but everything always does sell. If you have things that are that you think might be of great value, I think it would be helpful to have an appraiser come to your home and look at things first, because certain auctioneers, people who sell things specialize in different things. So one size might not fit all.
Kathy Treeseis is owner of Absolutely Organized, and Mary Kay Claudius, owner of Charm City Organizes, our guest as we talk about decluttering your life. Is that a word, decluttering? Cutting the clutter and living lightly. 410-662-8780 is our phone number here. Maybe you're a person who's gone through this process. Maybe in the last year you decided to steel yourself to be more efficient, to live leaner, and you decided to let things go. If you've had an experience like that, please let us know. Give us a ring. Share your story with us. 410-662-8780. The email address for Midday, midday@wypr.org. So here's my idea, Mary Kate and Kathy. Kathy Treeseis, owner of Absolutely Organized. Mary Kate Claudius, owner of Charm City Organizes. Conspicuous consumption, or just lots of consumption, an age of affluence, people buying a lot of stuff because they can, or credit cards, right? People accumulate things and things and things, right? That's something that speaks to our age, the age that we've lived in here, the last 20 or 30 years especially. Also, two incomes in households, husband and wife or partners just both working, right? Completely out of breath all the time, running all over the place. And if they have kids, that adds another layer to it. So all of this contributes. This is modern life, right? Now, some people cope better than others, and I guess the ones who don't are the ones who call you for help. But am I describing sort of typical clients here?
Yes, very, very much so. Most of my clients have very hectic lifestyles. They're running from one thing to the next. They might have, usually they have children.
And they're falling behind. What are they, missing appointments? They're not paying their bills on time. What's going on, Mary Kate?
Generally speaking, I think, yes, they're falling behind. They're feeling overwhelmed. They're missing appointments. They're late paying bills because they can't find that bill on the desk. And, you know, I think it's an interesting sort of collection of reasons. There, you may have inherited things from parents that are downsizing earlier as seniors and moving into assisted living or having passed away. Kids, and then you're moving. People aren't staying in the same home for longer than, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. People are marrying later in life. And
changing jobs more frequently. Right?
People are staying in a job maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We're finding a lot of 30s combining homes because they've each started their own life and path, and now all of a sudden they're merging two homes, which is a lot of stuff all of a sudden, right. But no one's really ready to get rid of anything.
That's interesting. You mean people are waiting a little longer to get married or mm-hmm. live with someone else, right?
We work with a lot of young couples.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So they've had longer time to accumulate stuff,
that's right.
I
mean,
right.
The old wedding registry is really going out of style. People want Home Depot gift cards, not China.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, these are all things we're dealing with.
Here's another question. People who have a lot of clutter, say a messy office, lots of books. You say some of your clients, Kathy, accumulated books on how to be better organized. So I imagine that's part of the clutter, right? Those books. But they claim that there's a method to their madness. Even though they've called you for help, or maybe their spouse called you for help, they think that there's a method to the madness of all these papers stacked every place and books and ledgers and things that we don't actually use in the digital age anymore. Do you have people like that who say, you know, I know where things are?
It's usually the spouse of the person who calls me.
That's right.
Who says, don't touch my piles. I know exactly where things are. And actually, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. It just may not be aesthetically pleasing to the other person.
Correct. They have an office that should be a Superfund site.
Yes.
You know, the EPA should declare it a disaster, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Let's take a couple of calls here. 410-662-8780, the number for Midday. Steve in Baltimore. Thank you. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're on the air, Steve.
Okay. I recently moved in the last 6-8 months. And we decluttered probably 20 or 30 years between the both of us of stuff, just books and everything. We took it to auctions, gave it away. I took vans full to the auction in Howard County.
Awesome.
I took vans full to the Veterans Center. So there's, and I thought I was attached to it. I wasn't.
Steve, I want to ask you a question. What made you decide to finally do it? Where was the epiphany on this?
We were downsizing. So we were moving to a smaller location, knew we couldn't take everything.
All right, so you just kind of forced in it by size, but there's some people might try to stuff everything into a smaller place.
And, Steve, can I applaud you? This is Mary Kate, for not moving that stuff because of all the weight and the money that you were going to have to spend in moving it or then storing it on the other end.
Yeah.
So bravo.
Hey, Steve, I have one more question for you.
Yes.
Was there something you were attached to that you didn't think you were going to let go, that you said, yeah, okay.
I think certainly a lot of the books I was attached to, I had sold some of the stuff at the auction that I thought I was attached to, little tchotchkes that I had collected over the years. And you know what? I'm okay. I'm okay without them today.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you. I had a good friend of mine who moved out of a house in Bolton Hill, one of those big old beautiful row houses in Bolton Hill, been there for 40 plus years, had a great book collection. So he knew he and his wife were going to downsize. They knew what they had to do. And he went through his books and thought of all the people he knows in his life, a wide array of people from work and family, and decided he would give away books during the course of the next year and a half to people who would appreciate them. So specific books, and he signed them and gave a note to everybody. It took time. He was retired and he had time to do it, but it was very meaningful. You know, he didn't bury you with like five or six books. He just picked out a couple that he thought you could add to your library. And I appreciated it. Liz in Baltimore, you're on Midday Next. Welcome to our show.
Hi, thanks for having me on. My father is a hoarder, and he tends to save what most people think are trash. Screws, tops of things, useful items that he thinks one day will be put to use. On two parts, I find it really disturbing, but on the other end, it's kind of personal recycling. His problem is organization. My question is there a place for this, and is there a usefulness for someone who refuses to disregard the usefulness of an item that is otherwise trash?
Well, Liz, first of all, I want to commend you for your attitude towards your father. It sounds like you really have a lot of compassion for him as a person and for his situation. And I can say that not all family members feel that way in that kind of a situation. So good for you for that. Whenever somebody mentions that there is a hoarding situation, the first suggestion that I make to family members is focus on keeping your father safe in his home. When it gets to the point that there are narrowed pathways and an ambulance rescue squad couldn't get in, fire department couldn't get in, that's a problem. So when you're there, check and make sure the exits are open, not blocked, that there's not paint cans and paint thinner stored next to the furnace and papers stored on the stove. And these are all things that we've seen. So I would focus on the relationship and your father's safety first. And that makes it a little easier to talk about the excess quantities of things that are marginally useful.
Thank you, Kathy. Bonnie in Baltimore, we'll go to you next and welcome you to Midday.
Hi, everybody. I just want to share that first off, I can't say enough for organizers. I had a friend who wanted to start an organizing business come and organize me many years ago, and she suggested, because I have a pool, that I have gather with, I'm a woman in strong sobriety, long term sobriety. I would gather with my friends and some women that were new in sobriety. And what we've done for almost 10 years now, at least four times in the summer, we get together and we have what's called a swap and swim at my home. And everybody brings something. We have lunch together. And then all these nice things that we're tired of wearing, pictures on the wall, foods that we've tried we don't like that are not outdated, we share them with each other. And then these women who are trying to get their lives together, and whatever we don't use, we give to Purple Heart.
Oh, I see. So you're not obligated to take anything, but things are offered to you.
Well, everybody that comes, they bring at least one or two bags, sometimes many bags of things. And they just hold it up, and if women, different women will want it, and we exchange it. And then what people don't want, there are still very nice things we give to Purple Heart.
Yeah, see, I like the last part, because if you were going there and you were obligated to take something, then you'd still have an item in your house, that would be taking up space that you just try to get, something you just try to get rid of, you bring it back home. But that's a good idea, Bonnie. And how many years have you been doing that?
At least 10.
Wow.
It's great. Swap parties are great.
Yeah. Oh, so thank you. You know about swap parties, huh?
We
Mary
do.
Kate?
I have one every January. And this January, I slacked off a little bit. But
okay. So if you
my
find,
own friends and family.
You find something if you like, you get to take it.
Sure. It's a great way to save
some money. Do people fight over items?
We chose numbers, and you had a turn to draw.
Oh, I see.
But it's a great way to declutter your house, get rid of some old items that maybe you're not loving or using as much anymore. Mm-hmm. Gives your friend a chance to take that home. And then, as she mentioned, of course, anything that's left, take it straight to charity.
Well, Kathy, what about giving away things to others, younger members of the family? They don't always appreciate fine china. Or they don't? What would you say?
They definitely don't. And I would encourage you to not take it personally if your child, family member doesn't want, can't use your things. That really places a great burden on people to feel obligated to take your things.
Okay. But I think you should at least think about it, because there may be somebody in your family that might appreciate something instead of just selling it at an auction or taking it to Goodwill.
Oh, sure. Offer it up.
I've been in the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a grandmother with, I don't know how many grandchildren she had, 30-something grandchildren. And she died. And then her youngest daughter, who had lived with her, decided it was time to move to a smaller place. And before we all knew it, all the great old furniture in that house was gone someplace, and no one got a shot at it. I would have liked to have had a table or a chair offered, and no one did. She wanted to move on as quickly as possible. Aunt Sadie did. So anyway, I didn't resent it or anything. I just wondered, wait a minute. Couldn't you have at least let us know? Maybe we wouldn't do a walkthrough and offered us something, a piece of our grandmother. So
right, yeah, yeah. That would have been a good idea. Yeah. I usually see the opposite of that. The people are holding on to things to give to just the right person.
Yeah.
So doing a swap or a football draft.
Football draft.
Yes, right.
What do you mean a football draft?
Well, have all of the 30 grandchildren draw a number.
Right.
And
then
you get to pick one thing.
Yeah. That sounds good. Do we have time for one more call, or are we out of time? BJ, real quick, go right ahead. Real quick, BJ.
Okay. Real quick, one technique that's worked for me, and then a question for your guests. The technique that's worked great is when I buy one thing, I get rid of two of that thing.
Oh,
I buy a pair of shoes, get rid of two pairs of shoes, and we keep it in a stack, either consignment or giveaway, and we empty the stack monthly.
Oh,
My question
I like that.
For you is, we're the people with the big house, so all of our relatives give us the stuff. What are your recommendations for how to politely not become the storage unit for the entire extended family?
Okay.
I think the best way to handle that is to thank them very kindly, and once you've made it clear that you do not have the room or the time to store it, they should back off. So it's the giver that needs the lesson there.
You like that, Kathy? Sound good?
I think it sounds good. And the other thing is, when somebody gives you a gift, it's yours to do what you want with.
Yep.
So feel free to give it away.
Yep. Kathy Treeseis is owner of Absolutely Organized, based here in Maryland and in New Jersey, and Charm City Organizers owner and founder. With us today, Mary Kate Claudius. Thank you both for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you again real soon.
Midday's senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer and director is Jonathan Ahrens. The associate producer, Michael Himowitz. Our interns are Luke Spicknell, James Daly, Tom Cartaxo, and Michelle Richardson. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.